السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، السلام عليكم.
الله يسلمك حبيبي.
الحمد لله بخير يا شيخنا.
We go on now.
نعم يا شيخنا.
طيب، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة خلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تسألون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who after we had a break in the month of Ramadan, out of his mercy, he has brought us back. From the biggest of his mercy on us is that he made us to fast in the month of Ramadan. And many of the brothers, bi'idhnillah, we are engaged constructively in a lot of good deeds. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make those good deeds that we have sincerely done for him, and to make them deeds that he will reward in manifolds. We beg him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq, the success to be able to at all times be engaged in sincere worship for him alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. From his mercy again is that he has brought us back to this class where we have been talking about and explaining a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his statements, his actions, his approvals, the things he held back from, and the statements also and approvals of his companions and those who came after them from the A'imma of our deen in this book called Al-Adab al-Mufrad is a book that is specifically compiled by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah, and the intention is to expose the Muslim to the manners of relating with the rest of the people, beginning from himself. How do you relate with yourself as a Muslim? How do you relate with your parents? How do you relate with your siblings, your father, your mother, your grandfather, your aunts, and the rest of your relatives? How do you relate with your neighbors? How do you relate with your friends? How do you relate with the rest of the Muslims? What should we do and what should we not do? Things of nice character and the rest of it. Issues of manners were compiled in this book by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and he took all of that from the lines of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum. And so this book is called Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that is Kitabu Al-Adab al-Mufrad, yani Al-Kitabu al-Mufrad للأدب. The book that is specifically compiled regarding the issues of manners. And we have taken the book, the hadith in this book, hadith by hadith, reports by reports. The last set of reports we dealt with were those in the chapter titled Babu Sakhawatin Nafs, the chapter about being free-minded, the chapter about being a high-minded person, the chapter about being a benevolent person, the chapter about great-heartedness, good-heartedness. When a person has a nice heart, he has a nice mind towards himself and towards the rest of the people. And such will manifest in so many ways. The first hadith under that chapter about Sakhawatu Nafs was the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about being contented with what we have. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, laysa al-ghina an kathrati al-arad. Wealth is not about kathratu al-arad. Wealth is not about having much of worldly possessions. Wealth is not about the number of houses you have. Wealth is not about the number of cars you have. Wealth is not about the number of clothes you have, the number of caps you have, the number of shoes you have, how vast your company is. That's not exactly what wealth is about. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walakin al-ghina ghina al-nafs. The real wealth, the real richness itself is ghina al-nafs. That a person is contented, he is satisfied with what he has. So he feels contented. He does not unnecessarily become miserly, scavenging for wealth and possession through any and whatever means by which it could be achieved. That's why a person can have billions in the account and he's still not comfortable. He still thinks he has nothing. The crave is still there, as if he had had no blessing from Allah subhanahu. So what this will do to such a servant is that he will hardly be thankful to Allah subhanahu. He will hardly be thankful to Allah, and he will hardly be merciful to the servants of Allah. He will hardly be open-handed. Such a person will follow that lifestyle with greed. So from the aspects of sakhawatu nafs, having a great mind, having an open mind, having a great heart, is that the individual is self-sufficient. He suffices with what he has. And that will make him, if he has a need, he will only follow up fulfilling his need through lawful means. If he has a need to get some more money, to get some more possessions, he will only do that through means that are lawful. This is what being contented means. This is what being great-hearted means. He will only pursue his cravings, his lawful need, through means that are also lawful, hoping in Allah and being kind and nice to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the issues under Sakhawatun Nafs. From that is that he is not a greedy person. And that was why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, had lived with the Prophet for 10 years. Since he was about 10 years old, he lived for another 10 years with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the biggest of what he would say about the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was that kana nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rahima. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Rahima. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very merciful. Kana Rahima. The Messenger was very, very compassionate. And that conforms with what Allah Himself had described the Prophet with in very many places in the Quran. One of them, the end verse of Surah At-Tawbah. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, kana rahima. He was a very, very compassionate person. Alayhi salatu wasalam. وَكَانَ لَا يَعْتِيهِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَعَدَهُ لَا يَعْتِيهِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَعَدَهُ No one brought a need to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except he gave him a promise. So we understand from the other ahadith that we had read that if anyone approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a need, there were three ways the Prophet approached the needs of the people. If you brought a need to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he has the ability to fulfill, he gave you what you wanted. We cited the hadith in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, where one of the people asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the head of animals. There were a lot of animals that the Prophet had kept that were collected from Zakah. The man came and asked the Messenger, can you give me this? The Prophet said, yes, take it. He gave it to him. So if anyone approached the Messenger for a need, one of the ways he approached those needs was to fulfill that need from the needy. And in this hadith, we are reading itself, hadith 278, we remember the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to start salah. And one of the Bedouins, جاءه عربي فأخذ بثوبه, he came and grabbed the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فقال إنما بقي من حاجتي. And that person who had a need at that time was reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that innama baqiya min hajati yasira. I still have some needs that you had not fulfilled. So he grabbed the Prophet. There were the companions standing in front of him to start salah. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, after making the people made the iqama, it was just to say Allahu Akbar and start salah with the takbiratul ihram. This Bedouin grabbed him. The Prophet went with him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The man asked for his need. The Prophet fulfilled the need before he came back to start salah. So one of the ways the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached those who came to him for a need was that he granted their need. The second approach of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is that, like Anas said in this hadith, la ya'tihi ahadun illa wa'adahu. No one came to ask for a need except he gave him a promise. He did not have. If he had, he gave. If he did not have, he gave a promise. Look, you can come back tomorrow. You can come back next tomorrow. Oh, come back the following week. Oh, come back the following month, depending on the need. وَعَدَهُ لَا يَعْتِيهِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَعَدَهُ. No one came to him for a need except that he promised him, come back. The third approach of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to those who approached him for a need was that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would connect with someone and direct that needy person to someone who would fulfill that need. Remember the hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, of the man who asked the Messenger for a ride. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have a ride to provide the man. He said, but I can guide you to someone who can provide you that ride. He did so. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that man dalla ala khairin falahu mislu ajri fa'ilihi. The one who guides to goodness has the kind of the reward of the person who actually did it. Many of us, we know this hadith. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam made that statement in the circumstance of he providing help to the person who had a need. The man came with a need. I need a ride, O Messenger of Allah. Give me a horse, or give me a camel, or give me a donkey that can help me move around. The Messenger did not have anyone to provide that person at that time. But he helped him get someone who could provide that need. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had three approaches to those who came to him for a need. He was able to either fulfill that need as they have asked, or he would promise them come at a later time. Or that alayhi salatu wasalam, he connected with somebody who would fulfill that need. Alayhi salatu wasalam. These are from the aspects of the sakha wa tu nafs of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are from the aspects of the generosity of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. These are from the aspects of the benevolence of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. These are from the aspects of the great-mindedness of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's why the Quran says to us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَا كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وذكر الله كثيرا. Allah says, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله, in the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, you have أسوة حسنة, a nice model to follow. Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام is a great nice model for the Muslim to follow. If you want to meet Allah upon success on the day of Qiyamah, follow the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, وَإِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you follow the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, you find yourself upon guidance. That's why Al-Imam al-Bukhari has compiled this book to make us see the beautiful, noble character, the beautiful, noble line of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Radiallahu anhu. Now, after the chapter about Sakhawatul Nafs, the next chapter that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, is Babu Shuhi, the chapter about avarice, covetousness, which is the opposite of Sakhawatul Nafs. Sakhawatul Nafs is for an individual to be open-minded. He is ready to let go. He is ready to hand out. He is ready to give it out. And he is not ready to acquire it from unlawful means. He is not ready to hold back the rights of the people. Whatever he had, he gave. Alayhi salatu wasalam. That is sakhawatun nafs. The opposite of sakhawatun nafs is what ashuhu, that we can interpret and refer to as what greed and covetousness put together. When a person becomes shahih, as Arabs will say, the one who has ashuhu, they say he is shahih. He has that unrestricted greed to keep money, keep wealth, don't give out. He will not give to someone. And at the same time, he wants to take your own. Two things put together. He has a strong, unrestrained crave for what is in the hands of the rest of the people. He wants to take their own. And he does not want to give the one that he has. When a person has these two things put together, we say he has shuhu, and he is what? Shahih, the one who keeps, and hardly would you see him hand over something to anybody. And then the one that the people have, he wants to take it away from them. He combines between these two. So you can say, ashuhu is when a person is greedy and at the same time covetous. He covets what is in the hands of others, and he, what he has, he will not give it to them. A person has a right with him. He will not pay the salaries of his workers, and the money is there. He will not see to the welfare of his subordinates, and the money is there. In fact, if they have a right directed to them, maybe they have some beggars from somewhere, he wants to also keep it. He does not want to give it to them. These are from the aspects of shuhunnafs that the individual has. Ulama say there are aspects of these in many of the people. Many of the people have shuhunnafs. They want to keep wealth and they don't want to give it. They want to keep it. They don't want to give. They don't want to give. They are also looking at what is in the hands of the people. So they are greedy, and at the same time they are what? They are covetous. What is it that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said about ash-shuhu? And Allah had told us in the Quran when he described the Ansar, he says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Because the Ansar were not people of shuhu. They were not greedy. They were not covetous. They gave. They were people who had sakha wa tunnas. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah described the answer. So these people were people of Iman. The Muhajirun migrated to them. Yet, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed the booties of war, he gave preference to the Muhajirun as Allah would guide him. And these Ansar, despite that, they still preferred وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. They still preferred the Muhajirun to themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Even though they were in the position of need, they also had needs, but they give preference to their brothers. This is from the greatest level of sakhawat nafs, and the far opposite of shuhu nafs, having greed and covetousness. So Allah added it and said, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. Like these people have done. Whoever sets aside the greed and the covetousness that you would find in the soul of people, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the people of success, because the more there is Iman, the far less you would find shuhu nafs. The more you find Iman in the heart of a person, from the symbols of Iman is that the individual has sakhawatun nafs. He has a great heart. He has a giving heart. He has a heart of charity. It is from the aspects of Iman. It is from the symbols of the Iman in that heart. On the other hand, when the man is greedy and covetous, it is from the symbols of very little Iman in the heart. Let us hear what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that will take us to Hadith 281. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana musaddadun, qala haddathana Abu Awana, an Suhailin ibn Abi Salih, عن صفوان ابن أبي يزيد عن القعقاع ابن اللجلاج عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يجتمع غبار في سبيل الله ودخان جهنم في جوف عبد أبدا لا يجتمع غبار في سبيل الله ودخان جهنم في جوف عبد أبدا ولا يجتمع الشح والإيمان في قلب عبد أبدا ولا يجتمع الشح والإيمان في قلب عبد أبدا. الإمام البخاري صدر رحمه الله حدثنا مسدد. We know الإمام مسدد from amongst the students of الإمام أحمد بن حنبل, and he was from amongst the teachers of الإمام البخاري رحمه الله. He is مسدد ابن مسرحد رحمه الله from amongst the أئمة. He also has a musnad. He has a book of hadith that he had compiled. رحمه الله. He is مسدد ابن مسرحد. He said حدثنا أبو عوانة. الإمام أبو عوانة in this طبقة. He is وضاح ابن عبد الله اليشكري. الإمام أبو عوانة in this طبقة from the شيوخ of the شيوخ of الإمام البخاري. He is وضاح ابن عبد الله اليشكري رحمه الله. He is reporting from his teacher سهيل ابن أبي صالح. So he said عن سهيل ابن أبي صالح. We remember الإمام سهيل and his father's name أبو صالح. His father was also a great scholar of hadith from amongst the students of أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه. And he is what? ذكوان السمان. أبو صالح. He is ذكوان السمان. So سهيل is سهيل ابن ذكوان السمان, because his father أبو صالح, his name is ذكوان السمان, and he is from amongst the students of the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, أبو هريرة. So سهيل ابن أبي صالح in this report, he is reporting from صفوان ابن أبي يزيد. He is reporting from صفوان ابن أبي يزيد. صفوان ابن أبي يزيد in this isnad, the ulama say he is مقبول. Those who are referred to as مقبول in their reports are those who, if we find a corroborating evidence, we shall accept the hadith. If we don't find a corroborating evidence, that hadith will be graded weak. Those who are referred to as maqbool, there are so many ways the ulama refer to them. Maqbool here means acceptable, acceptable, literally. But what in the science of hadith it refers to is that is a hadith are acceptable either to be yani in the mutaba'a, if it has a corroborating or supporting evidence from another reporter reporting the like of what he has reported. There are so many expressions by which these people are referred to. What Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar would refer to them as maqbool. Others will say yuktabu hadithu. His hadith can be documented. What does that mean? You document it, waiting to find a supporting evidence that will give strength to that report. So Safwan ibn Abi Yazid is maqbool. That is, his hadith are accepted if we find supporting and corroborating evidence from another reporter. And he is reporting from Al-Qaqa' ibn al-Lajlaj. He is reporting from who? Al-Qaqa' ibn al-Lajlaj. Qaqa' ibn al-Lajlaj is majhul. He is not known clearly to be a sound reporter and a reliable reporter of hadith. So we see that this isnad now has issues. The first issue that it has is with Safwan. The second issue that it has is with the Sheikh of Safwan ibn Abi Yazid, Al-Qaqa' ibn al-Lajlaj. Because Al-Qaqa' ibn al-Lajlaj is majhul. He is not known to be a reliable reporter of hadith. He is the one who is mentioned to be reporting this hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So how do we say now that this hadith is sound? We say that the hadith is sound because the ulama say that this isnad lahu tabi'un inda al-imam Ahmad. The hadith has a tabi', it has a supporting, corroborating evidence from the report of al-imam Ahmad in his musnad. And al-imam al-Nasa'i also reported a similar report in his sunan and others among the scholars of hadith. So this hadith is graded sound because it has corroborating evidences, because it has supporting proof. So that's why we know that this hadith is sound. And from amongst the scholars in the earlier times who have graded this hadith to be sound was Al-Imam Ibn Muflih Al-Hanbali rahimahullah in his book Al-Adab Al-Shari'ah. He refers to this hadith as Hassan. He says this hadith is what? Hassan, because it has supporting and corroborating evidence. And from amongst the scholars who graded it sound in our own times was Al-Imam Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani rahimahullah. So in this hadith, Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, la yajtami'u gubarun fi sabilillah wa dukhanu jahannama fi jawfi abdin abada. La yajtami'u gubarun fi sabilillah wa dukhanu jahannama fi jawfi abdin abada. He said alayhi salatu wassalam, la yajtami'u gubarun fi sabilillah. Gubar, dust, that's the one who goes upon the path of Allah, the dust that gets into his nasal passage, it gets into him, it gets into his jawf, it gets into his body. The jawf is the emptiness inside us. When air passes inside us, it comes into a jawf. That jawf. La yajtami'u gubarun fi sabilillah. The dust that comes when a person goes upon the path of Allah, he goes for a jihad that is validly declared by valid constituted authority based upon Islam. He goes upon jihad. As he goes upon jihad, he has the dust of jihad coming into him. The dust from the movements during jihad, they get into his nasal passage, into his body. This gubar, this dust, this smoky thing that comes into him from jihad, la yajtami'u, it will not come together with dukhanu jahannam, the smoke from jahannam. It will not combine together. La yajtami'u, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, la yajtami'u gubarun fi sabilillah wa dukhanu jahannam fi jawfi abdin abada. That's dust from the movement during a jihad, during an activity for the sake of Allah. From that is when you go to bury a dead corpse. It is from the aspects of sabil upon the path of Allah subhanahu. From that is when a talib al-ilm moves to seek knowledge. The gubar that comes, the dust that raises when he moves, he gets into him. Allah will not make it combine with the smoke of Jahannam, meaning that when a person really, really does these things for the sake of Allah, from the gains that he will benefit is that Allah will not make him inhale the smoke from Jahannam, meaning that by the mercy of Allah, he will be protected from the fire of Jahannam. When a person truly goes upon jihad fi sabilillah, from that is the aspects of going out to learn, to acquire the knowledge of Islam. From that is fulfilling the needs of the rest of the Muslims. When you do it for the sake of Allah, from that is fighting actual jihad with non-Muslims in a jihad that is validly declared upon the principles of jihad and upon a constituted authority of Islam. When a person does that, he will not, by the mercy of Allah, be from amongst those who will come into the fire on the day of Qiyamah. Why? La yajtami'u gubarun fi sabilillah. What he had suffered upon the path of Allah will not combine with the smoke of Jahannam. That is, for his suffering and maintaining patience, being steadfast over the hardship upon the path of Allah, Allah will reward him with what? Protection from Jahannam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yajtami'u gubarun fi sabilillah wa dukhanu jahannama fi jawfi abdin abada. Allah will not bring together gubar, the dust that the person inhales when he moves the path of Allah. Allah will not combine it with the smoke of Jahannam. Fi jawfi abdin, inside a single servant. One single servant was involved in jihad fi sabilillah. That same servant now become from amongst the people of Jahannam. Allah will not make it happen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy upon his slaves. Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلَا يَجْتَمِعُ الشُّحُّ وَالْإِيمَانُ فِي قَلْبِ عَبْدٍ أَبَدًا. لَا يَجْتَمِعُ الشُّحُّ وَالْإِيمَانُ. Likewise, الشُّحُّ, greed and covetousness. These things, لَا يَجْتَمِعُ مَا الْإِيمَانِ, they will not combine with iman fi qalbi abdin abada, in the heart of a servant of Allah. You will not find a servant of Allah who has iman with him being a person who is greedy and covetous. Why? Because the two of them contradict one another. When you truly have iman, sound iman, you will not be a greedy person. This is the point in this hadith. You will not find a person who is upon sound iman, who truly believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the provider. If a person is greedy, from the problems he has, is that his belief, his iman, his certainty of faith, that what Allah has provided him, that wealth that he had was provided to him by Allah. And that from the things Allah desires in that world is that he should be benevolent to the servants of Allah. These two things come from iman. When the person who has 1 naira, the person who has 1,000, the person who has 1 million, the person who has 1 billion, all of them understand that what they have has been provided to them by Allah. They must understand this fact. We all must understand. Whatever we have, wallahi, was provided to us by Allah. And as such, Allah has rights inside that wealth. So from shukrunness is that, from greediness is that, the man will withhold zakawat. He will not pay zakat. From shukrunness is that, even sadaqah will not give. From shukrunness is that, people will come to him for need. He has the ability to fulfill their needs, but he will look the other way around. He will not be like the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. He will look the other way around. Why? He feels that if he spends anything from the wealth will be finished. The wealth will become exhausted. And that is from the threat of shaitan. Because shaitan, ya'idukumul faqr, shaitan will promise you that, will threaten you that if you spend, you become poor. But the person of iman understands that sadaqah does not reduce anything from wealth, as the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the sadaqah does not reduce your wealth. It rather multiplies your wealth. But the iman to understand this is far away from the person who has greed, from the person who is covetous. He is greedy, he will not give. He is covetous, he wants to take the one from you. He wants to add it to his own, whether lawfully or unlawfully. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tajtami'u shuhu wal iman. So the person of iman is a person who will distance himself from shuhu nafs. The person of iman is the person who will distance himself from what? From shuhu nafs, from greed, from avarice, from insatiable desire for wealth. And most of the crimes that we see in our own community are from these things, from the people's shuhu, from the people's insatiable desire for wealth. It leads them to take the life of others. It leads them to usurp the wealth of others. It leads them to attack people, the armed robbers. Then when the armed robber comes, he wants to take the wealth of somebody else. These kinds of people and these kinds of deeds are the deeds of the people who are far away from iman. You will not see a person who truly believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming a person who is greedy. If you are greedy, if you are stingy, if you are covetous of wealth of people, you want to gain wealth by any means, you should understand that it is a symbol that your iman is far away from being sound. Iman is far away from being sound inside your heart. How do we know that people are from the people of little iman when they are stingy and greedy? Stinginess and greediness, covetousness, avarice, insatiable desire for wealth are from the symbols of little iman inside the heart of an individual. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yajtami'u shuhu wal imanu fi qalbi abdin abada. You will not find shuhu and iman, you will not find avarice and faith coming together in the heart of a servant. No. When there is iman, it sends away what? Ashuhu. And when there is ashuhu, the evidence is that there is little iman in the heart of that individual. Otherwise, a person cannot have sound iman and at the same time is a greedy person. This kind of a thing will not happen to anybody. When he has sound iman, you will find him being benevolent and generous. When he has weak iman, you find the individual being what? Greedy and covetous. May Allah protect us from this evil trait. The next hadith, I think that suffices with hadith 281. It is clear, inshallah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yajtami'u gubarun fi sabilillah wa dukhanu jahannam fi jawfi abdin abada. The dust from jihad fi sabilillah and the smoke of jahannam will not combine inside the single servant. One servant, he has dust from jihad fi sabilillah. He also has smoke from jahannam with him. No, from the rewards of his jihad is that Allah will protect him from the fire. Likewise, la yajtami'u shuhu wal iman fi qalbi abdin abada. You will not find sound iman and greediness and covetousness in the heart of one person. And we say that person is a person of iman. No. When his iman is sound, you will not find greediness and stinginess in it. When you find him very stingy and greedy, it is from the symbols of a weak iman. I think that suffices on Hadith 281. In Hadith 282, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Muslimun, Qala Haddathana Sadaqa ibn Musa, Huwa Abu al-Mughira al-Sulami, قال حدثنا مالك بن دينار عن عبد الله بن غالب هو الحداني عن أبي سعيد الخدري عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال خصلتان لا يجتمعان في مؤمن البخل وسوء الخلق قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خصلتان لا يجتمعان في مؤمن البخل وسوء الخلق. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from his Sheikh Muslim, الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا مسلم قال حدثنا صدقة ابن موسى. صدقة ابن موسى هي إس أبو المغيرة السلمي. صدقة ابن موسى هي إس أبو المغيرة السلمي. He said حدثنا مالك ابن دينار. That is أبو يحيى البصري. مالك ابن دينار. He is أبو يحيى البصري رحمه الله. One of the scholars of Basra. Very, very popular regarding the issues of Ibadah. Malik ibn Dinar was known to be very, very worshipful. Abu Yahya al-Basri. He is reporting from his Sheikh Abdullah ibn Ghalib. Abdullah ibn Ghalib, he is al-Huddani. Abdullah ibn Ghalib is also well known for worship. One of the things that had been said about him, about Abdullah ibn Ghalib, was that he used to make salah to duha 100 rak'ahs. Abdullah ibn Ghalib. He used to make salah to duha every day, 100 rak'ahs, two, 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 two. He was well known with worship. Rahimahullah, Abdullah ibn Ghalib, al-Huddani. The sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will not exceed 12 rak'ahs in salah to duha. It will not exceed 12 rak'ahs in salah to duha. But he is being regular with salatu duha. Because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, La yutabi'u ala salati du'a illa al-awwabun. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, La yuwazibu ala salati du'a illa al-awwabun. No one will be regular with Salatul Duha except the Awwabun, those who are regularly repentant and turning towards Allah. So if a person is known with being regular with Salatul Duha, it is from the symbols of being a repentant person, always repenting, always turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that has been described regarding Abdullah ibn Ghalib. Al-Huddani is the tabi'i of this hadith, and he is reporting from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He said that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, khuslatan la yajtami'ani fi mu'minin, khuslatan la yajtami'ani fi mu'minin, al-bukhlu wa su'ul khuluq. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, khoslatan. Before that, some of the brothers could call our attention back and said, Sadaqa ibn Musa, Abu al-Mughira, al-Sulami is a weak reporter. Naam, he is a weak reporter of hadith. Shaykhu Shaykh al-Bukhari, the Shaykh of Muslim, the Shaykh of Bukhari. His name here is Sadaqa ibn Musa. He is a weak reporter of hadith. The jumhur of the scholars who grade reporters to be weak or trustworthy in their reports, they rule that Sadaqa ibn Musa is a weak reporter of hadith. So Sadaqa ibn Musa is a weak reporter of hadith, but this hadith has corroborating evidence to show that even though he's a weak reporter, this hadith is sound. Many others amongst the ulama have mentioned the hadith to be sound. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, as reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, that khuslatan la yajtami'ani fi mu'minin. There are two traits, khuslatan, two traits, two character types, two ways of behavior. La yajtami'ani fi mu'minin. These two things will not combine inside a person of sound iman. If you have sound iman, these two things will not be inside you. The first one, al-bukhlu, greediness. If you have sound iman, you can't be greedy. If you have sound iman, you won't be greedy. The second one is su'ul khulq. And that we had always repeated. You can say al khuluq, having the lamb to have dhumma. You can also make it al khulq. They are both accepted. So su'ul khulq, bad character. You can't be greedy. You have bad character and you come back to say you have sound iman. When you have bad character and you are greedy, they are from the symbols of what? Very, very weak, low iman. From the symbols of the lowliness of the iman of a person is that he is greedy. He has what with him? Al-bukhlu wa madha wa su'ul khulq. He has bad character. Al-bukhlu. He is greedy. He is misani. He hardly would give. He hardly would let go. He is not merciful. He is not benevolent. He is not even merciful and benevolent towards himself. Because the first victim of miserliness and greediness is that greedy man himself. He is able to dress nicely, but he will not dress nicely. He is able to drive a nice car, but he will not drive a nice car. He is able to spend upon his family, but he will not. So the misali, the greedy person, is himself the first victim of his greediness. So greediness cannot be with you, and you claim sound iman. It is from the evidence that your iman is weak. If you now combine al-bukhlu, greediness, stinginess, you combine it with bad character. When you talk to people, you are very rude. When you relate with people, you cheat them. You are impatient. You are very vulgar in your speech. The people run away from you. They avoid you because they are scared that when they relate with you, you become vulgar towards them. You can't say there is iman in you and you are like this. You have su'ul khuluq, bad character. And combined with that inside you is al-bukhlu, stinginess. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khaslatan, two traits, two character behavior, two ways of behaviors, or two kinds of character. Two traits of character. La yajtami'ani fi mu'minin. They will not combine in a person of sound iman. The first one is al-bukhlu, stinginess. The second one is what? Su'ul khulq, bad character. So when a person is stingy and of bad character, they are from the symbols of his very, very weak iman. And when a person is open-handed, when a person is great-hearted, when a person is merciful and benevolent, they are from the symbols of sound iman. And that's why the Prophet in another hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَالصَّدَقَةُ burhan. وَالصَّدَقَةُ burhan. When a person gives sadaqah regularly, it is burhan. It is evidence. Ulama say evidence of what? Evidence of iman. From the proof of iman of an individual is his benevolence. He knows that Allah has given him. And he knows that those in need have a right inside what Allah has given you. Know it today. Those in the position of need, they have a right from what Allah has given you. Or you who have failed to realize that whatever you have has been given to you by Allah. So you should understand this, O greedy. What you have belongs to Allah. He only gave you a part of it to administer. And from those who have a right over what you have are the people who have need. So fulfill their need. Fulfill their need as much as Allah makes easy for you. Because when a person becomes greedy, when a person becomes covetous, it is from the symbols of very, very little iman inside him. And from the symbols of sound iman is that the person is far away from al-bukhl, stinginess, and what and su'ul khulq is also far away from bad character. When you find bad character and stinginess with a person, they are from the things that epitomize, they show, they indicate the fact that that person is a person of very, very little iman. I beg Allah to protect us from these evils. I think it will suffice to take on these two narrations today, and they are both about condemnation for what? For ashraf, for greediness and covetousness. Not giving people when they have a need. You have the money, but you will not give. You will not give. You will not provide help. You will not provide assistance because you are greedy. This is from the symbols of very weak iman inside you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La yajtami'u shukhu wal iman fi qalbi abdin abada." Greediness and covetousness, these two things will not combine with iman. When there is iman, sound iman, you will not find greediness. Likewise, bad character. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, khoslatan, la yajtami'ani fi mu'minin. Two traits cannot be of a believer. Al-bukhlu, greediness, wasu'ul khulq, and bad character. These are not from the indices of belief. These are not from the things that you would find with a person who has sound iman in him. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from these two traits. We beg Allah, those of our brothers or our sisters who have these two traits, may Allah help them to overcome the ill. If we have one or two questions, we can attend to them, Abu Yusuf, before we call it a day today, inshallah.
No, JazakAllah khair, inshallah.
Abu Yusuf.
Hello, sir.
Naam, Abu Amir.
Naam, JazakAllah khair, inshallah.
Ameen wa antum fayazakumullahu khair.
Naam, so we have a couple of questions here.
Naam.
So this one reads, Asra missed Ramadan fast on Saturday. And also, how can we, can one repay missed Ramadan fast on Saturday?
Naam, if a person misses a fast in the month of Ramadan, like the menstruating woman, like a woman who was ill, or a man who was ill, or like a person who traveled, during that journey he was not able to fast, so he chose to fast on another day, and so on. From amongst those who are entitled to pay back their fast the month of Ramadan, that they missed in the month of Ramadan, who paid back outside the month of Ramadan, they can observe that fast on a Saturday. Why? Because the hadith that prohibits fasting on Saturday only prohibits fasting a nafila fast on Saturday. And the fast of Ramadan is not from nawafil, it is from wajibat. It is something that is compulsory. It is something that is made obligatory on us, because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in that hadith, la tasumu yawm as-sabti illa fi mafturidu alaykum. So don't fast on the day of Saturday, except a fast that has been made compulsory on you, like repaying Ramadan, like fasting when a person makes a vow to make atonement for a vow, like fasting when a person is guilty of mistakenly taking the life of a person and he's fasting 60. These are fasts of compulsoriness, like fasting of zihar, when you tell your wife that your back is like the back of my mother. You are entitled to fasting to atone for that. All of these are compulsory fasts. So you can fast them on Saturdays. One of the compulsory fasts we can make on Saturdays is a fasting of Ramadan that we are paying back. Whether you fast on a Friday before, or you fast on a Sunday before or not, you can single-handedly repay the fasting in the month of Ramadan. You can pay it back on a Saturday outside the month of Ramadan. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
نعم يا شيخ أحسن الله لك
جزاك
الله هذا ما هي ريج السلام عليكم يا شيخ is it part of greed to hide one's complete salary from one's spouse is I need explanation جزاك الله خير
I mean it may form part of greed and it may not it may form part of greed if the salary is hidden from the spouse because you want to only spend little on them. You want to make them believe that you don't have. I know a brother like that. He did a very big job. He got a very big money. And I was joking with him. I said, your family will enjoy. He said, no, they must not know that I have money. Because he wants to only spend little on them. And he had, at that time, a lot of money from the work. So some people are greedy. It is their greed that led them to desire hiding their salary from their family. So they will be earning 100,000, 200,000, and they will be behaving inside the house as if they are earning 20,000. They will be earning 100,000. But they'll be spending on their family as if they are earning 20,000. So you will see the wisdom according to them, the brain behind, the thinking behind hiding the salary in these circumstances, no other than what? Greed. So this is blameworthy. Sometimes it may not be from greed. It may be out of respecting and keeping your own privacy and actually preventing the women from covetousness. There are some of the women, if their husband is earning 100,000, they want him to spend 95,000 on them and their family. If the husband is earning 100,000, they would ordinarily suffice with 40 or 50 or 60,000, such that the man uses the rest of the money for his personal needs and other duties that he has. Now they have a trial, and that trial is that they have women who they are just covetous. They want to buy a bag, they want to buy a shoe every month. They need a jilbab every month. They need a shoe, they need this, they need that. Their needs are insatiable and unending. In that case, by way of controlling that covetousness and avarice from that woman, the husband can keep the details of his salary away from her. In this case, it is blameworthy and not from the aspects of greed from the husband. I hope that it is clear about Amir. A question that was connected to it.
Yes. Trying to look for sorry.
There's a question here, Abu Amir, and I think it's good we respond to it.
All right.
Can we refer to going to madrasa to learn as jihad in fi sabilillah? Yes, I mentioned it during the class. From the aspects of jihad in fi sabilillah is learning and acquiring knowledge. When you go to learn, you are from jihad fi sabilillah. Now the person asks, can you tell us some other valid jihad fi sabilillah? From the aspects of jihad fi sabilillah is going to work. Perhaps they are building a masjid, helping people to do something. It's from the aspects of jihad fi sabilillah. From jihad fi sabilillah is going to earn for your family. When a man goes to earn for his family, you are struggling, you are in your office, it is from the aspects of jihadism, and so on and so forth. In fact, generally speaking, when you move towards acts of obedience, you are upon jihad fi sabilillah. Because it is fi sabilillah, unless you are not doing it for the sake of Allah. Generally speaking, when you move, you walk towards good deeds, you do good deeds, it is from the aspects of jihad fi sabilillah. Even though specifically speaking, jihadun fi sabilillah would be about actually fighting for the sake of Allah, defending the deen of Allah, defending the lands of the Muslims. So these are from the aspects of jihad fi sabilillah directly. But more generally speaking, going to acquire knowledge, spending in the path of Allah, going to bury a Muslim in a janaza, working to earn for the family, and so on and so forth, also from the aspects of jihad fi sabilillah. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
So it can be corroborating reports for a narration from a maqbul be from another maqbul.
Naam. Can a corroborating report from a maqbul be from another maqbul? The corroborating report is supporting the tabi'u for a maqbul. It can also be from another maqbul. It can be from another maqbul. And that hadith will come up to the level of Hassan. The hadith will come up to the level of Hassan. The first person is maqbul. The second person is maqbul. The meaning of being a maqbul is that his hadith is accepted if he has a tabi, and he has a tabi. He has a supporting evidence that is not less than someone like him. The tabi, the supporting evidence must not be any less than a maqbul. If it is less than a maqbul, it will not be accepted. There are even some reports. There are some reports, more so if they are much. You have a maqbul, is a problem with the first snatch. You have a da'if, not da'if, jiddan. Maybe majhul al-hal is the second problem with the second isnad. In the third isnad, you have a hadith mursal from those people whose marasil are considered, like al-Imam Amir al-Shaabi and others, like this, like Sa'id ibn Musayyib and others. This is mursal. And the asil about marasil is that they are weak reports. This is a vast majority opinion. So in the hadith, let's say it is mursal. Let's even say it is from the mursal of maybe Ibrahim al-Nakhi ibn Yazid, and so on. Because there are some of the people whose marasil will not count. Like al-Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah. They say his marasil are like karrih, and so on. So when these reports become much, one of them has maqbul, another one has da'if, not da'if from jiddah. Another one has maybe in kitar, hadith is munqatih. Another one, and so on. All of these can come together to support that hadith and make us understand that they have some sort of an asl by which the ulama will say that this is hasan li ghayrihi, and it will form something from where evidence can be deduced. So if you say a maqbul and another maqbul, yes, a maqbul and another maqbul can make a hadith come and grow up to the level of Hassan, inshallah. I hope that it is clear to you.
I have four questions here on the situation when I'm trying to combine
them. Amir, we have already exceeded the time.
Okay.
I usually do not like us to exceed the time. Please, Nila, add them to the questions for tomorrow.
Inshallah.
Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.